it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Subscribers to NewOrleans.Football get early access to all of our podcasts, all of our analysis, our news, our breakdowns, and so much more. There's a members-only podcast every week, so make sure you are signed up for that if you are not already. Use the code NOF to save 20% on your first payment. NewOrleans.Football/subscribe. All right, welcome back to another episode of NewOrleans.Football presented by PJ's Coffee. We're coming to you from our studio right next door to Matt Bowers Ford dealership. If you are in the market for a new car, make sure you check out one of his many dealerships. It will get you the best prices with the best customer care, and you will have the best car buying experience of your life. We got a great show for you guys today. We're going to go through and do a little stock watch and see which guys we're willing to buy in to for the upcoming season. So stick around for that and so much more right after this quick break. The NewOrleans.Football show is proudly presented by PJ's Coffee. PJ's Coffee has some of the best drinks that you can find. They have locations all over the city. They have pastries and everything else you need to get your day started. So go check them out. This Mother's Day, surprise her with dazzling diamond studs for under $500 at Friend & Company Fine Jewelers. Or you can elevate her style with an elegant emerald or ruby diamond band at $1,250. You want something more modern? They also have stunning diamond paperclip necklaces too. Visit Friend & Company Fine Jewelers Uptown at 7713 Maple Street between Adams and Burdett. Call 504-866-5433 and shop online at friendandcompany.com. Shop for mom at Friend & Company Fine Jewelers. Hard Hide Punch Tool Strawberry Whiskey is an 86-proof blend of aged wheat bourbon, American light whiskey, and fresh Punch Tool strawberries. Blended in New Orleans, it is not for the thin-skinned. Look for it in your favorite stores, bars, and restaurants. New Orleans Stop Football is proud to be sponsored by Firehouse Subs. Make sure you check out their location on Veterans Boulevard.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
All right, let's get into the show. Make sure you guys are asking your questions in the comment section on New Orleans Style Football. We're going to have an overtime segment after the show where we answer all those. That's exclusive only to the members of our site and will be available only on our website. So make sure you take part in that feature. All right, it's time to get into the lead presented by Friend & Company Fine Jewelers. Friend & Company Fine Jewelers is the official jewelers of the New Orleans Saints. Mother's Day is this Sunday, so make sure you are ready to take care of all the mothers in your life and get them something special. Seen on the screen are studs that cost less than $500 and emerald and ruby bands that are priced at $1,250. Get them today and tell the staff that NOF sent you. My guy Payroll will be in there to get one for his wife, Victoria, for sure. He takes care of her, so make sure you try to keep up with him. All right, what do we got?
All right, we got the lead topic. Today it's which Saints would you buy stock in at their current value? If you're a longtime viewer, you've heard our guy Mike mention a lot of times buying stock in players at their current value, whether that's a young player who hasn't broken out yet or an older player who's being discounted. For example, last year, Paulson Adebo and Carl Granderson would have had great investments, but Andrews Pete also would have been good because he was at a lesser value. So let's take turns here, go through each guy, snake draft style. Let's start off with you, Nick.
Yeah, I think I got to start off here, and it's somebody that I think would probably cost a little bit more to invest in than maybe some of the other guys that I'm hoping to be able to select. But I think I'm still buying low on him and going to get a pretty good return, even though I think that, you know, there's a little bit of hype about the initial public offering here.
You've created the hype.
But I'm taking Kendra Miller. I think that is a good buy. I think he's going to keep getting better, and I think he's the guy with the most upside that we haven't seen yet on the roster. So he's the guy that I would feel most comfortable with, kind of, you know, if I'm making a bet with like my retirement fund, like I would actually put some money into to his upside on money that I might need down the road and wouldn't be afraid to lose.
No, look,
I would be afraid to lose, rather.
When we conceived of this idea, I mean, Kendra Miller was the first name that came to mind. We had to make sure you got the first pick because this is something you've been touting all year. It's the right time to buy stock in him. And I think it is still relatively low, especially outside of the New Orleans circle. I mean, people are talking about Tyjae Spears and Devon Achane and other guys from his class that were drafted around the same time as him way more than him. And again, I don't know how crowded that backfield is going to be this year with Alvin Kamara and Jamal Williams, how many touches he'll get right away. But this backfield is his long term if he proves he's ready to take it. And he was also a guy we mentioned right away when we talked about who does the Clint Kubiak offense benefit most on this roster. Man, it feels like he is tailor-made to thrive in this offense. So there is great potential for him to turn from they also have Kendra Miller to a key player on this team. There's no doubt about it.
You're up.
All right, I'm going with two guys that we were really high on 12 months ago, and their star has fallen with my next two picks in this snake draft. The first is Juwan Johnson. I probably shouldn't be allowed to pick Juwan Johnson because I was all over touting him as like the fantasy pickup late in your drafts last year. I thought he was going to explode with Derek Carr. We saw it all training camp long. We saw it in the preseason, and then we didn't see it in the regular season. It was a huge disappointing year. And if the Saints had signed another tight end in free agency or drafted another tight end, I'd be ready to be like, you know, Juwan Johnson had his chance and he missed it. But they didn't. They didn't add anyone of note other than Dallin Holker as an undrafted free agent. And actually, if I didn't pick Juwan Johnson here, I'd probably pick Foster Moreau here, and I'd probably pick Dallin Holker here. The opportunity for tight ends to do something this offense is so great, and Juwan Johnson should get first crack at it again. He started to tap back into what we expected from him late last season. I think now the pressure's on him. It's a contract year for him to, you know, maybe he was a little happy reading the positive expectations last year, but now he's got kind of a career to salvage, and I think the talent is still there. The opportunity is definitely still there. My other one is Pete Werner for the same reason. A year ago, we did our ranking where we ranked the top 20 players on the roster. I think we both had him 11th. His star was rising. He had 71 tackles in the first half of last season. He was on pace for 150 tackles before an injury slowed him down. And he just did not take that next step. They bring in Willie Gay Jr. They bring in Kalika Hudson. And it feels like they're throwing a warning shot across his bow too while he is heading into a contract year. But I think the talent is still there. He had 93 tackles last year, a half sack, an interception. He needs to do more of that third down stuff. But it's, you know, the challenge has been thrown down to him. I think he has enough talent to deliver. I think his stock has been lowered, but the talent's still there. What do you think of those two guys?
I think I would have got to both of them, but they wouldn't. I don't feel like they were taken from me this early. They might have been someone I got to a little bit later. Definitely Werner. I think I would have got to. I would have probably taken Werner before Johnson. But I think a little bit lower in this because, like, I feel like I'm getting my next two right here. And you know, one of the things about you want to invest when everybody's running from the burning building because that's where you get the most upside. And you know, it just through the spirit of this, Trevor Penning, I feel like is just
the stock is free. You actually, you can take it on the way out. There's just certificates.
Like
you
no
can,
one's fighting
you can
for
have
it
for free.
All he has to do is get on the field, play some snaps, and you're getting a higher return on it. And I think he's going to find a way to be a starter this year. It's something that they got to try to figure out. I think they're going to be committed to it. I think they're going to be willing to go down with that ship. I think they have to find a way to make it work because there really isn't a better option. So if he doesn't start this year at tackle, I think it's not due to a lack of trying. And I know a lot of people want to speculate that he's going to move to the inside. I don't see that happening. My reporting tells me that's not what's in the cards right now. You know, personally, I feel like if he ends up playing on the inside, that's the last stop on the bus to Busville. Like it's not something that they're going to go too quickly. Like they are going to take their time getting there. And I don't think he can play inside. I just don't. I don't think that's part of his DNA. So I'm taking Penning here as a tackle. Like I think they're going to try to find a way to make it work, and we'll see if they do.
You win this exercise if he starts 10 games. I mean, like, his stock is currently valued as if he's never going to play for this team.
Correct.
He could be the jumbo tight end all season long, and you would win this exercise.
Yeah, like, it's like buying Boeing after a plane crash. Like, that's kind of where you want to be going with it. And then, yeah, I think Caesar, because Boeing's going to get back in the sky, like, at some point. So, yeah, and then my next one, I'm taking Caesar Ruiz. I feel like he had a dip last year, but we've seen the up. So it kind of feels like he's kind of down right now, and I think he'll find a way to get back up a little bit. Offense should help him. Scheme should help him. Quicker passes should help him. Using more play action should help him. Some, you know, continuity, I think, when they figure out the right side of that line, that should help him. I just think there's a lot of stuff that should allow him to kind of get back up just a little bit. I don't think he had a great season last year by any means. He was better 2 years ago. But I think that he can probably elevate his play a little bit. So it's not nearly the kind of, like, upwardness that you have available with Kendre and Penning. Like, I don't think there's a reality where Ruiz is a star, but I think he can get back to being a good, solid starter on the offensive line.
My only nitpick with this choice for you is I think you're down on Caesar Ruiz more than the general public. Like, I think when he played really well for a stretch 2 years ago, you were kind of the cautionary, like, he's not playing as well as everyone says he's playing. He gets the big contract extension last year. I think right now Caesar Ruiz's stock is not, I think it's lower in your mind from doing the film studies. I think you were a little more down on the season he had than the general public because you saw it. So he could have a much better year and raise his value in your eyes. but I don't know that you're not getting him at the you're not getting him at the Juwan Johnson price right now, I don't think. But other than that, I agree. This offense should suit him. He's still very talented. I think he will be better this year than he was last year, no doubt about it. All right, now I'm going into the penny stocks, and I'm going Cedric Wilson Jr. I've mentioned this a few times on the show. I like the opportunity, but I also like the talent. If the Saints had signed him 2 years ago, everybody'd be like, yes, that is exactly the guy that they need in this receiving core. He's kind of a thin 6'2", 197, so he's not a big physical receiver, but he can use that size a little bit. He's got some blocking ability. He can play in the slot a little. He can be a third down option. Had 45 catches for 602 yards and 6 touchdowns with the Cowboys before he signed a sizable deal with the Dolphins. And then the Dolphins just, you know, he ended up in the place where they drafted Jalen Waddle and they traded for Tyreek Hill, and he became an afterthought here. And he's arriving here as an afterthought. I think he could absolutely be, you know, who are some of the, you know, like everything that Traquan Smith was for this team without the Traquan Smith expectations. I think there's value in that. I think he'll be a part of this 4-man receiver rotation. And that alone, I think, would get me a return on my investment. And then I'm going to gamble here on Derek Carr.
Ooh,
I don't want to make this like a Derek Carr is way better than everyone thinks, but Derek Carr is way better than everyone treats him right now. I mean, we've seen, I think it was a fantasy ranking that was making its way, a FanDuel or something like that, but this meme was making its way around the internet where he was ranked 30th. And maybe as a fantasy quarterback, you know, he doesn't put up big numbers. He doesn't put up big touchdown numbers. He's not the 30th best quarterback in the NFL. We saw him getting booed in the Superdome last year. He's better than that. Like, he is, I still think, in what we always thought he was, that 12 to 20 range of quarterbacks. I think if they fix the offense, I think he can take advantage. And here's another stat we mentioned. Last 6 games last year, he had the best passer rating in the NFL. 15 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, 74% completion percentage. They're going to do more play action. That worked wonders for him. I think all Derek Carr has to do is be, I mean, if he has Baker Mayfield season from last year, everyone's going to celebrate it as they unlock Derek Carr. Like, I like the price of this stock right now.
You know they're going to be on you in the comments.
Sure.
Like, wop, wop,
sure.
Wop, wop. Like, yeah. They're not gonna like that one.
Because they're all selling.
They're selling?
He's a seller.
I'll buy it at that price. I don't have to pay $30 million a year for this stock right now.
All right. They're going to be on you, man. I don't think it's a bad pick, though. I mean, I think you're right that people are lower on them than they probably should be, but I don't want to be someone that's raising that price either. Like, I think he's got a lot to prove. I think he's got a lot to prove. I'm going to go with the much safer pick with my next one, Nick Saldivari. Again, I'm just buying in on all the offensive linemen because it's just like if they figure out how to get a couple of them going, like someone here has to hit. Like, some of these options have to hit, and I don't think the bar is that high to be just an okay offensive lineman. Like, I think the thing people don't realize is that offensive lines are terrible now. Like, they don't develop these players. They don't practice and practice. Everything's up-tempo, so nobody knows how to block when they get to the NFL, which means that, like, there's, like, 10 good offensive linemen in the NFL right now. A bunch of guys that are okay, and most of them stink, and they're hidden by scheme or by the guys next to them. So if a couple of these guys can find a way to get on the field, I think it's a hit. And I feel like I'm stealing here. I feel like this guy should have been the second pick, and I'm blaming myself because I let him fall way too far. I think A.T. Perry, like, he had 200 yards last year. So just raising that number. I know, like, perception probably has him a little bit higher, so maybe I'm getting him at the right spot, and that's why we both kind of passed on him a few times. Yeah. But if we're just going off of last year's production, and how do you elevate that? I think A.T. Perry, like, has all the room in the world to do it. They didn't really necessarily replace him with a wide receiver, so I think the runway is still wide open for him to potentially be the number three guy. Yeah. I think it's going to be a good battle between him and Cedric Wilson. Push come to shove, I think A.T. Perry wins a push because there's just more future with him. So I think he's kind of got the house on his side a little bit too. So I feel good about getting him with my last pick in this draft.
Yeah, no, that was completely a perception thing for me. Like, I feel like A.T. Perry and Cedric Wilson are probably pretty close in what I expect from this year. I feel like A.T. Perry's stock costs five times as much as Cedric Wilson's stock right now because of how strong he came on last year. I mean, I've mentioned this a couple times before too, but I guarantee you I would win a bet with every Saints fan in the entire city, if they had to correctly guess how many receptions he had last year. He caught 12 passes last year.
Yeah.
It feels like he caught 12 passes in week 17.
Yeah,
caught 12 passes all last season, but for 246 yards and four touchdowns and really came on strong toward the end. So, yeah, absolutely pointing out.
He had a hard time living up to the hype, too, because, like, the hype around him was like, oh, they got a third rounder in the seventh round. Yeah. And he actually, I don't know, like, it, for a guy that missed a ton of the season and everything, when he finally got out there, like, I feel like he met the expectation, which wasn't going to be easy for him to do. I would have bet for sure that he would have disappointed them in some form or fashion, and he ended up exceeding that expectation.
Yeah, your offensive line, I agree with what you said about Nick Saldivari. Two other names that I had on my list, if we had gone a little further in the draft, were Oli Udo. I think he has a good chance of winning a starting job for a guy that people probably don't even remember he's on the team now that Andres Pete isn't coming back, and Landon Young, who we've talked about before, they're still high on his potential. He's going to have a chance. I mean, all these guys, even Taliesin Fuaga, you could put on this list because he has a chance to emerge as our best offensive lineman. I mean, the stock is so low on every offensive lineman, you could almost take him. But I went sort of the A.T. Perry route on this one. I was a little torn because I don't know if people are higher on him than they should be, but I think Brian Brzee is another guy whose arrow is pointing up. I think I was just really impressed by how much production he had as a rookie since, you know, he was battling all those injuries and the weight loss and everything as a senior at Clemson or in his final year at Clemson. I didn't know if he'd have a slow rookie year. Defensive tackles in general sometimes have slow rookie years. But he made it through the whole season. He never really seemed to hit a wall. He had 4.5 sacks, which is a really good number for a rookie. And that's a position where they didn't invest in anyone else. So I think they're counting on him to be the centerpiece of the interior of the defensive line. And I think he can live up to that expectation. So I don't know that I think he's a superstar. And if that's what I have to pay for his stock, I don't want to pay for it. Mm-hmm. But I want to buy stock in him getting better this year than he was last year.
Very surprised that you didn't go with Peyton Turner, man. I mean,
yeah, of course.
Yeah,
you're right.
Yeah, but staying on the streak that y'all were going on, I actually chose Jordan Howden. He was, you know, thrust into there to have starting meaningful snaps last year due to injuries and suspensions. And now he has a whole summer under Tyron where he has to be in his mind, think, okay, I'm going to get meaningful snaps again. I'm going to play. So he has no choice but to be money. And speaking of money, it's now time for our money segment presented by Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union. Andres Pete was signed by the Raiders earlier this week, finishing his 9-year tenure with the Saints. Are we surprised that he didn't stay in New Orleans?
No, I'm not necessarily surprised. I mean, I think that the writing was kind of on the wall that they were moving on from him when they signed Oli Udo and just kind of let him linger out there. I kind of thought maybe there was a chance that he possibly could end up coming back when if they didn't do anything in the draft, if they got shot out, I think that would have been a good place to go. But, you know, I do kind of feel like it just felt like the writing was on the wall. The thing that kind of surprises me is the perception of this, of how it turned out, because
crazy.
Now he left and everybody's upset. And right. A year ago, it was like, I hate the way you walk. I hate the way you block. I hate the way you play. I hate everything about it. And it's just kind of like now they love him. So it's surprising to me to see the perception. It felt like yesterday on Twitter, like it was a massive loss, and like this dude was just disparaged.
At the end of the day, family matters. It no does. Matter how much they, you know, make you mad and you hate what they do, family matters.
He's our punching bag, is the belief of the Saints fan base. Like, he can't be somebody else's.
But I still feel like it would have been smart. I can't sit here and lie. Like, if he was on the team, I would feel better about the whole perception of the offensive line, because you know the floor. My problem with Uli Udoh is I don't know the floor. Yeah. He has one season where he was a starter. He didn't really block that great in it. Like, maybe getting in a different scheme or whatever is going to help. And the people that he was with wanted him back. So that kind of tells you a little bit something about him. But to me, it just feels like if they had Pete on this team, you at least have a baseline at three different positions. Like, yeah. I feel like you could plug and play him if you had to. And yeah. He's not great on the other side, but like,
ooh,
if
you say two different positions.
Yeah. But if you push come to shove and there's a fire sale and you have nobody there, like, you could at least stand him out there and you got a big dude standing over there. So there's at least that. But yeah, you're right. Two positions
he's played well.
Two positions they have no answer for. Right.
Yeah. So, they're two biggest weaknesses. Yeah. Absolutely. Look, to answer the question though, I was not surprised as of this week. I mean, our reporting had told us that, boy, they're moving on from Andres Pete. It was sort of a never say never thing, but clearly we're not actively making efforts to bring Andres Pete back. But rewind to March, and I am surprised this is how it ultimately turned out. I really thought they'd find a way. I mean, at first, I mean, we were talking at one point, like, did they pay $10 million? Did they pay $8 million for Andres Pete? Is he worth that much? And then it felt like, well, it'll only cost $4 million. And then it started to feel like maybe it only cost $2 million. And as the price kept getting lower, I am kind of surprised that they didn't want that safety net at those two positions. They signed other guys for a lot cheaper. Udoh, this week they signed Shane Lemieux, Justin Heron. Their histories don't give you a lot of confidence, but it just really falls in line with they are not spending money on backups. That's where they save their money. They're catching up on the cap this year. And if you're not a young ascending player who could become a starter or exceed your expectations, they're not just they're not buying insurance this year is what they're
doing. Are they going to regret it?
Yeah. Oh, they very well might. But I guess the state of this Saints team now, which is what a lot of people have sort of wanted, a lot of people want them to tear it down and rebuild everything. Mm-hmm. But the state of this current Saints team now is we're catching up on the cap and we're going to find out what we've got in Nick Saldivari, in Landon Young, in Trevor Penning, and like, we're going to sink or swim with those guys. And if that means we only win 6 games, well, at least we saved money and found out if we need to rebuild that position. If you just plug guys like Andres Pete into those positions, you're just delaying the inevitable a little more, I guess. So, I'd feel better about their team if they had a veteran backup safety, if they had a, you know, Andres Pete here, if they had a better veteran backup quarterback, I'd probably maybe add a win to my prediction total if they had more depth. But instead, we're going to see a lot of these young guys that we talked about in the buy and stock segment.
So overall, what would his tenure in New Orleans be categorized as a first round pick?
Man, like as a first round pick, I feel like it was, and it's weird because he made a bunch of Pro Bowls, like, and I still don't really know how, like. He was never that popular. He wasn't that, like, I don't understand. So I don't know. I don't know. It's hard. It's hard to contextualize it because he ended up being a good, he ended up being a good stopgap from last year as a first round pick, though, defined through the lens of a first round pick. I would say a disappointment through that because they were even willing to let him go after that contract expired. And then they brought him back after the Chiefs tried to sign him. His market got set. He brought the offer back. It was lower than they expected, so they decided to retain him. So I think even through that lens, it's a disappointment because I don't think he became a franchise cornerstone at any position, particularly not the position he was drafted to play either. He ended up having to move inside because he couldn't play on the opposite side of the line. So I think overall, through that prism, a disappointment, but is a member of the team in general, detached from the price tag, the draft stock. I think he was a solid player for them overall, outside of, you know, the expectations of a first round pick.
Right.
First half of the first round too.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's large sections of the fan base that just immediately have a bad perception of him. He struggled so much to to get on the field in 2015 when he was drafted. I thought he did his best work. That 2017 renaissance when Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram each had 1,500 yards from scrimmage, and their run game was just unstoppable. I thought he was really, really good at left guard for the team that year. He ended up making his Pro Bowls after that, 18, 19, 20. Usually, I think all three were as an alternate. Maybe only two were as an alternate. But by then, he was the first-round draft pick playing for one of the most exciting offenses in the league with the Alvin Kamara resurgence and everything like that. And then by the end, he probably had the highest fan approval ever. And expectations were at their absolute lowest, the buying stock example. And then he came in and he was a solid starter. Now, injuries were a big part of this. He went on IR with, I mean, torn pec. Like, it was just like a different injury every year. Missed a lot of time because of injuries. Yeah, I don't think he lived up to first-round expectations, but he got a lot closer in the end than I ever envisioned. I think there's a lot of bigger misses on their ledger than
that. Oh, no doubt there's a lot of bigger misses. I mean, it's just, you know, I think when you're drafting someone in the first round, like, you're expecting that to be the answer for it. And he was never the answer of anything. He wasn't even an answer last year, not an expected answer. He was a stumbled-upon answer. They were trying to erase him last year. So it was just kind of, I think he stepped up, though. He saved last season from being a disaster. And I think, I think overall, a solid tenure, but it's just you kind of got to detach a lot of stuff from it to kind of get to the point where you can kind of appreciate what he was. And I think the appreciation came once everything was finally detached from him. Like, I always thought he took more crap than he should have. Like, I never thought he was as bad as the fans acted like he shouldn't have been on the field. And that was never the case. Like, I thought he was fine, but it was just
the other
it
thing,
just wasn't as, what was he, 15th pick or something like that? It just
13th,
He was just never good enough to
the other thing that absolutely killed him was how much they paid to re-sign him. Like, I think everybody was like, all right, Anders Pete's been okay. If they bring him back for $8 million, that's fine. And then they signed him to a five-year, $55 million extension, and that just made everyone mad at him all over again. Like, he's not that. Like, he needed to come in like James Hurst came in as an afterthought free agent signing, start for a few years. Like, people appreciate James Hurst way more, even though Anders Pete was a better player who played the same two positions just because of what it cost, I think. But if back to our previous discussion, if this is how Trevor Penning's career turns out, huge win. Huge win if they
at
get
this point.
At this point. At this point. At this point now. Yeah.
At this point.
At this point now.
But it's already feels like a wash. At this point. Look, if Trevor Penning gets on the field and is able to play and he's given up sacks where he's on his back looking back at the quarterback, like
that was the other problem.
It's fine though, because it means he's on the field. Like, he found a way to get on the field. Because, like, at this point, it feels like Trevor Penning's already a disappointment. Yeah. If he finds a way to just erase the complete loss, like, it's a win. It's a win for sure.
Right. At first, I was going to say that Pete had to be a win because he was able to stay here for 9 years and be serviceable. But then when you said he was a high first-round pick, it really had me thinking, oh, wait, this dude had major expectations and barely lived up to it until it came to the point where it's like, oh, I don't know if y'all want to let me go or not because you're looking kind of sorry in this, and this spot. So it's kind of money, but I think solid is a good overall.
Solid's a good word.
Yeah, solid's a good word for it. Another interesting signing this week is wide receiver Tyler Boyd. He signed with the Titans. He was one of the top picks that Mike had for the Saints to sign during this free agency period all the way back in March. So going on the list, the Saints lost Pete. They lost out on Tyler Boyd. They lost out on Mekhi Becton. It's starting to look like Chase Young is the only big-time free agent that they are going to sign or have signed up until this point. Do you see anybody else getting signed?
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I wouldn't characterize it as they lost out on those guys. It just I think we've just got ample evidence they weren't trying to sign those guys. Like, that's just not the ballpark they're shopping in. What was Willie Gay Jr., $3 million? And that was about that's about where they capped it. Ole Udo was less than $2 million. Cedric Wilson was less than $3 million. Like,
pockets got tight.
Yeah, and so we're looking at this list now of the top NFL free agents available. Justin Simmons still out there. Dalton Risner, I think, is interesting because he played for Kubiak and some of these assistants in Denver, and he could start at left guard and be that safety net that we're talking about. There's a few other safeties. There's a few other corners. We don't think they'll shop in corner, but I'm officially now going to be surprised if they sign anyone in this price range.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to sign anybody.
Yeah.
Like, in terms of, like, name recognition really at any of these spots. Like I said, I still maintain that I think there's room for a three tech. I think that's the only thing that they're going to end up spending money on. But,
yeah,
you know, going down this list, I don't see Justin Simmons being a signing. I mean, the Risner tie, maybe, but I don't see it. I don't see a rush to that. I think if they're trying to rush to something, sure. But again, the longer people last and if their price drops and it's just like they need a place to play and make some money, I think the door opens up for anybody. But if we're going across this board and saying any of these people cost money, I'm going to say the answer is definitely no. I don't see a scenario, regardless of cost or anything, where Mike Thomas comes back. So I think we can take him off that list for sure. I don't see it. I mean, but yeah, we got up on the graphic here for the audio listeners. Justin Simmons, Dalton Risner, Micah Hyde, Ogba, and Mike Thomas. I don't really see any of these guys ending up on the team. I just don't think they're going to spend money on anybody.
Ogba could technically be a three technique. I mean, he's been a sort of a 3-4 end at times. He's been a tackle for teams at times. Calais Campbell is still out there. He's a lot older now. I mean, are you thinking even that price range? Or are you thinking probably more like three technique that's the second tier of remaining three techniques right now?
I just don't, if they were going to spend money on anything, I think it's that position. Yeah. And I don't think it's anything else. Like, I don't know where they're willing to go with it, but I think it's a need still. And it's something that I think that they could spend some money on.
I know that they need to add to the line, but if the price keeps on dropping on some of these other players, what if they pull a reverse Sean Payton and get Simmons or Risner just for the sake of doing it?
I don't think they're doing anything for the sake of doing it, though. I think it's over. I think that's over, man. I don't even think that's in the cards anymore. I think it's just, I think that's done. Like, everything they've done at this point, to all of a sudden make a move, like, where that actually costs money, like, it would be weird to me. It would just be counterintuitive to everything that we've seen them do, and then it would be, like, kind of like, well, if you're doing that now, why weren't you doing it the whole time? So I don't.
It doesn't mean they won't sign veterans, though. I think it was the day they reported to training camp. Not even OTAs, not even mini camp, but training camp last year. They signed Jimmy Graham, Trey Turner, and Max Garcia, but they signed them all to minimal, like 1-year league minimum, veteran minimum deals.
Yep. We're going to hit a quick break. Just keep it locked right here in New Orleans.football.
Are you tired of renting and ready to own your dream home? Contact Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union, your trusted source for home loans. Our competitive rates and flexible terms can help make your home ownership dreams a reality. If you're a first-time home buyer or looking to refinance, our experienced lenders are here to help. Our online application process allows you to apply on your schedule. It's quick, easy, and convenient. Visit us online at jeffersonfinancial.org to learn more. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender.
Martin Wine and Spirits is home to a selection of hand-picked barrel select bourbon, whiskeys, and much, much more. They are family owned and operated since 1946 and specialize in wine, spirits, gourmet food, gift baskets, catering, and tasting events. They have many locations, so they're never too far away. You can check them out in Metairie, New Orleans, Mandeville, and Baton Rouge, or if it's more convenient, you can always shop online. Whether you're a wine novice or a seasoned collector, you'll enjoy the Martin Wine and Spirit experience.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome back to our studio on Veterans Memorial Boulevard. It's now time for our Hard High Ponchatoula Strawberry Whiskey segment. Yesterday, we went fishing. Y'all didn't even know we went fishing, but we went fishing. And we weren't fishing for sockeye, perch, shoe pick, none of that. We went fishing for opinions from the Saints fan base and to see where they stood at on their favorite area of the drew. Are you looking at
what
me like
that? What is a sockeye?
A sockeye?
Oh, that's sockeye,
a fish, man. All right. You got to get in that water, man. You got to throw it out there and reel it in, bro. But we went fishing for y'all, for Saints fans' opinions on the favorite Drew Brees era. You got to get out there, dude.
That's first fish you go to is a sockeye?
No, I went perch. I said perch. I said perch, sockeye, shoe pick. You got options out there, man. You got to get out
there. Well, I mean, obviously, that's not my top three. So if we're going through one of these Breeze-led offenses, you know, I think there's one answer here. I really think there's one answer here. And It's not Breeze, Colston, Bush, and it's not Breeze, Alvin, Mike. I think if you want there the best go. Version of Breeze, like I think you got better weapons with Alvin and Mike. I think that's the best set of weapons. But that's a distilled version of Breeze that was just kind of operating on mental acuity and the physical attributes had declined pretty considerably by then. Managed to manage it. But I think if you want Breeze at the height of his powers, give me the quarterback at the height of his powers over the top tier weapons every single day. You give me Breeze with Jimmy and Colson. Like, I don't even feel like I'm compromising. I think I got two B plus players there if Mike and Alvin are A players or A plus players. So, but I got the A plus QB, and give me the A plus QB every single time.
You read this question a little different than me. I'm giving you 2011 Breeze no matter what. Who are you taking? You get 2011 Breeze with any other two players.
But that ain't the question. The question here is the set. It isn't like choose your fighters. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's by era. So it's kind of like first era,
so
second era,
third
era.
So you have a different Drew Breeze in each one?
Yeah, you got 06 to like 2010 Breeze, 2011 to 17 Breeze, and then 17.
You got to go with the OG, not with the reboot.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, 2011 is the answer, obviously. It's not only the best offense in Saints history, it might be the best offense in NFL history. They still have the record for yards in a season. And we've had three 17-game seasons, and no team has topped what they did that year. And we didn't even have room on the page for Breeze, Graham, Colston, Darren Sproles, who was a monster that year, Pierre, Thomas, Mark Ingram, and Chris Ivory, four running backs. Yeah. And then the other receivers that aren't on the picture include Lance Moore and Robert Meacham and Devery Henderson. I mean, that offense was ridiculous. Drew Breeze threw, 46 touchdown passes that year, 5,476 yards. Yeah, the 2011 offense, I mean, the only thing you can compare it to is like, show me like what, Kurt Warner and Marshall Faulk and Isaac Bruce, and then we have a conversation. But if we're just looking at when did Breeze have it best, who did you pair with Breeze and have it best off this chart? If I'm going big three, I'm going Kamara and Thomas. If I'm consolidating into two players, I think there's a really good conversation to be had about Thomas versus Graham versus Colston, and it's probably Thomas versus Graham for me. But they never had a running back do what Kamara did. So Thomas is as good as any pass catcher they ever had, and Kamara's the best running back they ever had. So that's my big three. But yeah, if we're taking all the other factors out of there, nothing comes close to 2011.
Mike, I'm so glad you made a case for that last set, because we were all going to have to pick the 2011, because that was the golden age. That's when, you know, that's when money was being made. Graham was out there breaking goalposts. They had 2G Williams on the defense, you know. The dog on 49ers, man. That's the ones who killed that whole season. That killed that whole season.
That one play. Dante Whitner knocking out Pierre Thomas.
Yeah, yeah.
But Darren Sproles, you know what Darren Sproles did that year? 1,300 yards from scrimmage, 9 touchdowns, 86 catches. He was as good in that one year as Kamara or Reggie ever was. He never quite captured it.
Personally, that's my Saints GOAT, Darren Sproles.
For that one year. For that one year, everybody. And he just, it's teams kind of figured out what they wanted. He also had over 1,000 yards kickoff return that year. And then he had almost 3,000 yards that year, all purpose. Golly, did he have a year that year.
Yeah, he was rolling. But now it's time for our Martin Wine and Spirits question of the day. Martin's is home to a wide selection of hand-picked barrel select bourbon, whiskeys, and more. Martin's, so much more than just wine. Mike asks, not that Mike, 505 Saints fan Mike, who are some Saints veterans who might be surprise cuts during or by the end of camp?
Surprise cuts during or by the end of camp.
Mm-hmm.
Whew. So, I mean, surprise cut. Like, yeah. So
it's hard to say it if it would be a surprise.
You're saying somebody that we don't expect to be cut, like, really through any circumstance.
Yeah.
I think the one that's closest to being, like, in that do or die name recognition, wow, they're actually doing this, I think it would, and I don't think it's going to happen to them. I mean, that's the very definition of this, but if for some reason Peyton Turner shows up and he isn't ready to play, I think that's where you kind of end up with it. I think that would kind of be where they're ready to maybe draw the line. I could see Jamal Williams being one too. I think that's a definite possibility. I don't really know that they have the depth of the position for that to happen, but you never know.
There's not a lot of obvious candidates. I went through it. Defensive end is the position. And actually there was another Martin's question that was specifically pointing out they have 6 defensive ends that we would expect to make the roster. They normally don't keep 6. So who could the odd man out be? And I think the only two possibilities to be the odd man out are Peyton Turner and Tano Passanio, if he would qualify as an answer to this question. But Cam Jordan's not getting cut. He's got $13 million guaranteed. Carl Granderson's not getting cut. Chase Young's not getting cut. And Isaiah Foskey's not getting cut just 2 years into his career. So that becomes the position where somebody good might not make the team, or might have to start out in the practice squad, or you know, an injured reserve list, or who knows. Jamal Williams is a guy I thought of too, but his $3.15 million base salary is fully guaranteed. So you're not saving money if you do that. You're just actively saying, I want someone else on the roster. Peyton Turner's salary is also fully guaranteed because an entire rookie contract is $2.37 million. Foster Moreau, Colin Saunders, Nathan Shepard, their salaries are all fully guaranteed this year. So I don't see any of those guys getting cut when you're not even saving money doing it. The only other names I thought about, I mean, we do have a lot of guys that are candidates to win offensive line spots. So somebody like Landon Young or Oli Udo could be the odd man out if they go with a different eight guys. DeMarco Jackson, does he count? Jonathan Abram or Will Harris, they have one-year deals that aren't fully guaranteed, but I don't even know if those guys count as surprise cuts.
Yeah, when they cut Bradley Roby last year, it was kind of like,
I know what he means by surprise. That's why they're a surprise.
Definitely. But what isn't a surprise is y'all continue support. We appreciate the live viewers. We appreciate y'all for sticking around and coming into the live chat and putting the questions in, because you will be rewarded with overtime in a whole nother segment. And if you aren't signed up to the website, what are you doing? Because you're literally about to miss out on maybe another 10 to 15 minutes of content. Catch y'all next time.